This morning, I want to talk about Satan's schemes. I want to talk about his strategies. You need to understand why you have a lot of the problems that you have. You have a lot of the problems that you have because you have an enemy that is after you with everything he's got. And that's real. It's not something that's made up. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. There's a real devil. There's a real adversary. Now, a lot of the problems we get into, we bring on ourselves. Amen? We do. We do stupid things sometimes. We've all done it. And we create those things. But there are times when you suffer for the sake of righteousness. Jesus suffered for the sake of righteousness. Paul suffered for the sake of righteousness. It was because they were good. It was because they were righteous that they had a lot of problems. This idea that people have problems because they have sin in their life or because they're making a bunch of mistakes, that's not always true. Sometimes people who are serving God with everything they've got have a lot of problems. Because they're serving God so hard and they're chasing God so hard, the enemy's really fighting them. And so we're going to come against that today. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to have prayer for those of you that are going through difficult places in your life and believe that God's going to break that for you. Because I know he has the power. And we know he's, like Scott said, we know he's here. Amen? He promised he would be. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, outsmart us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Here's the key. Are you aware of the schemes of the devil? He says Satan will not outwit us. Satan will not trick us. Satan will not defeat us. Why? Because we're not unaware of his schemes. We know what he's up to. We know what he's doing. We understand his strategies. Do you understand the strategies of the enemy? Are you aware of his schemes, his devices, the things that he does? You need to be. We need to be. We're not children of the night. We're children of the day. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in light, right? We're the children of God. We have knowledge. We have insight. We have discernment. One of the greatest gifts of the Spirit is the gift of discernment. To be able to discern what is God and what is not God. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. And we just pray, God, that you would just bless us, Lord, this morning with revelation and knowledge, that your glory would just come and rest upon us. We thank you, Lord, because you're such a good God and you're so faithful. Lord, just show us your faithfulness this morning. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I like being down here with y'all. I like being close. I like this. I used to do this every Sunday, but people in the back kept telling me they couldn't see me good. So, anyway, I'm not tall enough, I guess. The word unaware in our passage, it's a key word, and it's from the Greek word ageo. And this word means without knowledge, ignorant, don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know. Nobody knows everything. There's a lot of things we don't know. And the way we correct that is through acquiring knowledge. We learn about things. Learning is a good thing. Acquiring knowledge is a good thing. And the way you acquire knowledge is you absorb knowledge. You bring it in. You bring it in by hearing. You bring it in by seeing. You bring it in by feeling and touch. These are the gates of our life. This is how things enter us. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is a way you receive knowledge. And the knowledge that you need that we're talking about this morning is being aware or having knowledge of what the devil's up to, of what this enemy that you have is up to. Because he's, like I said, he's real. He's out there. And he's after you, not because it's not really personal. It's because you are now, as a believer, connected to the Son of God. You have married into the Hatfields and the McCoys. Did you know that? There's a feud that's been going on for a long time. And when Christ became your bridegroom, your husband, you became betrothed to him. You became a born-again believer. You married into the feud. That's right. And so because of that, you're now a Christian. You're a born-again believer. You carry his name. So let's just say we're the McCoys, because I'm kind of partial of the MC prefix. You know, it's McElhaney. So we're the McCoys. And the devil's the Hatfields, right? So whenever the Hatfields see a McCoy, there's a problem. Because they just don't like each other. And so that's what's happened. The enemy just doesn't like you because of your association with God. You're a problem. And especially when you start to stir things up. When you start praying, when you start reading your Bible, you start sharing Jesus on the job or at school, and you start, then you start meddling into his stuff. You're meddling in his kingdom. You're meddling into the world of darkness, and he doesn't like that at all. And he will form a strategy against you because of that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people." Say, "I'm chosen." You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Did you know that? Did you know you are God's special possession? "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You have been called out of darkness. We're walking in light. That's knowledge. That's knowing. Have you ever heard somebody teach the Word of God and you thought, "Man, I wish I knew all that. I wish I understood the Word of God the way they understand the Word of God"? You can. You can. God wants to equip you with knowledge and light and understanding. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us." We've been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You have been brought into the kingdom of light. You've been brought, rescued from darkness, brought into the kingdom of light, brought into a place of knowledge and understanding and truth. That means, I want to show you what that means. That means we have an advantage over the enemy. When General Robert E. Lee took the Confederate Army north, decided to take the battle to the enemy, and went all the way up into Pennsylvania, while marching through the state of Maryland, one of his subordinates accidentally misplaced their war plans. And those war plans fell into the hands of Union troops. And they had a knowledge of what some of Robert E. Lee's plans were about coming into Pennsylvania. That gave them what? An advantage. Right? In World War II, code breaking became a big deal. Learning how to break, because the telegraphing of messages from the, and they learned how to break those codes and understand what the enemy was saying. Why? Because if you had prior knowledge to what their plan was, you had an advantage. Do you know that's exactly what God is saying you have? We have the ability to break the code of the enemy. We have the enemy's plan. We know what he's up to. We know what he's up to. That gives us an advantage. Church, we are not at a disadvantage. You don't need to be walking around thinking, man, what's the devil up to? What's he doing? I don't know where he's coming from. I don't know what he's... You have an advantage. You're in a better place than he's in. If you realize it and understand it, you have an advantage over the enemy. So let's talk about what his schemes are. What are his schemes? That's the first thing I want to talk about. What are the schemes of the enemy? The word schemes is noema. Noema. It means thoughts, plans. What are the schemes? He said, if you are aware, if you have knowledge, you can know what are the schemes, what are the thoughts, what are the minds, what are the plans of the enemy. That we can know what he's up to. Now, I want to go through a list of what the devil uses, and I'm going to use these right from the Word of God. I'm not going to read all the verses because it would just take a lot of time. But I just want to go through them, and I want to make you aware of what the schemes or the devices or the plans of the enemy are so that you can know. And I'm going to pull this right from the Word of God. Number one is deception. Number one is deception. The enemy uses deception to come against you. He is a master deceiver. He makes things look one way, and that's not really what they are, right? So you need to understand that Revelation chapter 12 says he deceives the nations. He is a deceiver. 2 Corinthians says he is an angel of light. We get this idea that the enemy is some kind of hideous. Do you know where the devil came from? He was at one time one of the mightiest angels in heaven. He was one of the sons of God in the book of Job that looked in on creation. His name was Lucifer. You know what Lucifer means? It means son of the morning or morning star. The Bible says in Ezekiel and Isaiah that he was one of the most beautiful beings ever created, that he was beautiful to look upon. The Bible tells us that music radiated from his body. He had some kind of, the Bible says that pipes, it's a musical term, that pipes and some kind of instrumentation, something was in his body that made sound, that just when he moved, I'm telling you, it just blow your mind. He was an angel of light, but because of his beauty, because of his power, he was lifted up in pride and rebelled against God and lost his place. But that's why the Bible calls him an angel of light. And when he shows up, he doesn't show up with this scary face and this scary voice trying to intimidate you. He shows up as an angel of light. He looks good. I heard a preacher say one time, the devil wraps his garbage up in the prettiest of wrapping paper. And that's what he does. He makes it look so good. He makes it look so attractive. He deceives you. He pulls you in. He pulls you into it. He makes that girl look really good. He makes that guy look really good. He makes that thing out there that look really good, you know. He uses the things of the world that catch our eye, and he deceives us. And before we know it, we're into something that looked good, but now it's a mess. That's just what he does. And most all of us have fallen for it at one time or another. You know, you just do. I remember one time years and years and years ago when I was a teenager, we went to the fair and they had this ride. It was kind of a new thing and it was really fast. And you know, I don't go to the fair today, but you know how fast they throw those things up? I wouldn't get on one of those things. they throw them up overnight, you know, and this thing's spinning and flying, and I'm like, man, I'm not getting on that thing. That's called wisdom. Amen. You don't have that when you're 15 years. You just don't. You just don't think, you know, and or I didn't. And y'all are wise, though. But anyway, I saw this thing, and I want, so me and we get in line, and they're taking like two at a time. And the guy that I was with, my buddy, this real pretty girl was right in front of him, and they were going together, and he was like, I'm not riding with you, I'm riding with her. And so I looked around to see who I was going to be riding with, you know. And there was this lady was standing there, and we get on the thing together, and it starts, you know, and spinning and all this, and she starts looking green and different colors, and she's doing like that. I'm thinking, oh, no, let me out. And we're in a cage, like it's like a cage, and it's spinning and it's spinning and it's spinning, and I want out of here, you know, and I'm, you know how you'd go by the guy that's got the lever, he's controlling it, and every so often you'd come by him, and when we'd come down low to the ground by that guy, I'm like, please stop, you know, stop. And I think I heard him say, we're going to go a couple of more times. And all I could think of was, God, get me off this thing. This is horrible. And so she throws up, and it's like, oh, it's like, it's just bad. And that's what I'm talking about. It looked good standing in line. The music's playing, the lights are flashing, this thing's spinning. This is going to be fun. There's nothing fun about it. Nothing fun about it. And so you have to be, you know, I let my sons talk me into getting on a roller coaster at Busch Gardens or somewhere. It's one of those where your feet dangle. You're not, do y'all know what I'm talking about? Don't do that, people. Stay away from those. Those things are of the devil. Stay away from them. And they wanted to get on the front row. They said, if you're on the front row, you get the full sensation. And I mean, from the time that thing started, I was speaking in tongues. I was praying, God, get me off this thing. Get me. I will never, ever. You hear me, God? I'll go to Africa. I'll go to India. I'll do anything you want me to do. Just get me off this thing. That's what I'm talking about. These things that the devil sucks us into, and you're not in it long, and you're like, God, I have messed up. I have gotten into something. You know, let's get serious a moment. I know we're having fun, but God, I've gotten into something I need off this thing. It keeps going round and round and round and round, and I need off. The other thing he does, he steals the word. He will steal the word right out of your heart. He will rob you of truth and revelation. He loves to just come along and take that seed when God's planted that seed. How many times have you been encouraged on a Sunday and you've been lifted up and I mean by Monday, he was already there trying to steal what God had put in your life. And the way he does it, somebody makes a comment or somebody says something or you get your feelings hurt or what. It might even happen before you get home on a Sunday. 1 Thessalonians says he hinders the gospel. He hates, you know, gospel means good news. And he hates the message of the gospel. He will try to hinder you from preaching and speaking and sharing the gospel of Christ. And if you're the kind of person that's not ashamed of your faith, and we shouldn't be, church, amen, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, amen? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of me when he took all my sin and walked up Golgotha and died on that cross, amen? Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Not ashamed. I just let people know right off. And I tell you, you know what's the easiest? Let me tell you something. The easiest thing you'll ever do in your life is just let everybody, right off the bat, just let everybody around you know I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to just tell you straight out. I'm a Jesus person. And and watch them scatter. But that's okay. You're the one they'll come looking for when they have a problem. You're the one that they'll want. I'm telling you. But listen to me. When you're at work and you're at school and you have not made that declaration and they're around you with those jokes and they're around you talking about it, you know why? Because they don't know who you are. Because you've been afraid to stand up and say it. You were ashamed to say, this is what I am. And when you go ahead and declare it, your life gets a whole lot easier. It really does. Make that declaration. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And Satan, he fights the gospel. Physical sickness. Luke 13 says there was a woman who was bound by the devil. 18 years. Sometimes we are physically attacked by the enemy. He attacks your body physically. He comes against you with sickness. Sickness is not of God. Sickness is not of God. Sickness is a work of the fall. Sickness is associated with the rebellion of man. And it's something that the enemy brings. Now, sometimes we get sick. Sickness comes from a lot of different reasons. I got sick because I didn't eat right and take care of myself. Me and God went round and round with that. Amen? Sometimes we get sick because of things we do. You go to a ball game and it's 25 degrees and it's raining and you sit out there for 3 hours and get a cold. Don't blame the devil for that. You know? You come down with an infection and he's like, I didn't have anything to do with that. He did that all on his own. But sometimes Satan brings things against us. It is a direct satanic attack. When I was in my 20s, I lost my voice. I couldn't hardly preach on a Sunday morning. If I preached, and in those days we had Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I loved to sing. I would sing all during the song service. I sang in the choir, then I would preach, and then I'd sing Sunday night and preach Sunday night. And I got to where if I preached Sunday, I could not sing Sunday morning and preach Sunday morning. I couldn't do both. I lost my voice. It was gone. And so I couldn't even hardly preach on Sunday nights. And it was like, God, that my voice is, that's what I do. And I need my voice. And what's going wrong? I went to doctors and they had trouble finding anything wrong and checked my vocal cords and everything looked okay. And it was like, something's going on. And God showed me. And one night I had a vision and I was in the vision. I was laying in bed and I saw these little gremlins, these little things all over my chest. And they were crawling up my chest and they were clutching at my throat, just like that. And I woke up from that and I knew instantly how I needed to pray. This wasn't physical, it was spiritual. The enemy was trying to rob me. He was physically attacking, trying to rob me of my voice. And I began to come against that and I began to pray against that and it broke off. And all these years later, my voice is still pretty strong. Amen? Amen. But sometimes you need to know that it's the work of the devil. How many of you are a little warm? Is it a little warm in here? We might cut the air down, guys, a little bit. See, it feels it to me. But I got a coat on. Maybe it's just me. He hinders answer to prayer. The Bible says Daniel prayed 21 days for an answer to prayer. And when Gabriel showed up with the answer, listen to what Gabriel said. He said, God sent me the first day you prayed. Daniel kept praying 21 days, wondering, God, where are you? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why don't you show up? How many of you ever thought that? God, where are you? I've been praying and praying and praying and praying. What's going on? Folks, there's a war going on in the heavenlies. There's things going on you can't see. Gabriel showed up and said, and Daniel was like, well, it's about time. I mean, I've been on my knees for 3 weeks waiting on you guys. What are y'all doing up there? You know, are you out to lunch? What's going on? Now, I don't think Daniel said that, but he might have thought it. And Gabriel said, oh, wait a minute. Don't get mad at me. God sent me the first day you prayed. But I ran into a demonic prince. It was called the Prince of Persia. The Bible says there are powers and principalities and rulers in high places that rule over cities and over countries and over dominions. Amen. And he said, I ran into some resistance and I fought him. And then I couldn't be victorious. And God sent Michael, the archangel, to move him out of the way. Folks, can you imagine what Michael looks like? Wow. And Michael showed up and moved that thing. Michael, by the way, is the prince of Israel. I just told you that countries and nations have principalities and powers. Well, Israel has a power, and it's called Michael. Amen. Amen. If you come against Israel, you're coming against Michael. Think about that. Wow. Boy, anyway, he moved him out of the way, and the answer to the prayer came. But see what was happening. And there was a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies that was keeping the answer from coming. Folks, we pray for revival. We pray for healing. We pray for a move of God. We pray for an open heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. There are powers that are fighting the answers to those prayers. And that's why the Bible says the effectual... Listen to this. Have y'all ever read that verse that says the 5-minute prayer of a churchgoer avails much? Have you ever read that prayer that says the little poem that you pray, the little recitation that takes about 2 minutes to read, availeth much in the kingdom of God? No. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual prayer. Prayer that has an effect. Fervent prayer. You have to mean business with God. And that kind of prayer, Daniel kept praying. He didn't give up. We give up too quick. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says he set snares. I got to hurry. I didn't plan on spending this much time on these. He sets traps. He sees you coming. He will lay a snare for you. Young people, he will lay a snare for you. Sometime along your way, there'll be something in your path that he'll try to sidetrack you and pull you aside. Adults, he'll lay a snare for you. Any of us, he'll lay a trap and lure us in. That's why the Bible says, be watchful and strengthen those things which remain. He blinds men to the truth. He is so good at blinding the eyes of people that they just cannot see the truth. Have you ever just looked at the world recently and thought, I do it all the time. You hear these crazy things. How many of you noticed the world's getting nuts? Have you noticed the world's getting crazy? It's getting crazy. Do you know what's happening? He's blinding men to the truth. I mean, I see stuff, I'll hear them say things and I'm like, do you know how illogical that is? Do you know how crazy you sound? That's nuts. But they believe it because they've been blinded to the truth. They can't see truth anymore. They can't. You can go and try to talk common sense and truth, and you're like, why can't you see this? They've been blinded to the truth. He creates doubt. We've all had him come and do this to us, right? You start having those doubts. I don't know. I don't know if God's really ever... I don't know if he really answers prayer. I don't know. And he's a master at it. He causes strife and division. He's the author of confusion. Strife and division doesn't come from God. Peace comes from God. Strife and division comes from the devil. He'll stir you up. He'll cause strife and division in your home. He'll cause strife and division in a marriage. He'll cause strife and division between you and your children. He'll cause strife and division in churches. I know a church. You just had these t-shirts made? I know a church that split down the middle because of some t-shirts that were made and they didn't like what was written on them. The church split down the middle over some stupid t-shirts. Come on, folks. He is a master at creating strife and division. I know another church, and it's not very far from here, that has two cemeteries. Because there's so much division in the church, the members of the church do not want to be buried with other members. I'm telling you the truth. I can take you to it. So they got two cemeteries out by the church. Lord, help us. Okay, what should we do? So, okay, Glenn, what do I do about it? Ephesians 6:11 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Hallelujah. There is an answer for you, and that is to put on the whole armor of God. What is the armor of God? The helmet of salvation. That is, guard your mind with the Word of God. Guard your mind with the Word of God. Wash your mind with the Word of God. Amen. Years ago, we had a member of our church that somebody ran into somebody somewhere, and they said, they will brainwash you up there at that church, at that Grace Covenant church. They will brainwash you. And they came back and told me, and I said, that's exactly what we're trying to do, is wash your brain. Your brain needs washing. Oh, amen. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's his righteousness, not your righteousness. Please, church, don't put on your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Don't put on your righteousness. It won't hold up in battle. You'll get destroyed. Put on his righteousness. Put on the belt of truth. Gird yourself with truth. Put on the shoes of the gospel. Swiftly, movement, spreading the gospel. Take the shield of faith and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then do what? Stand. Trust your equipment. Trust the Word of God. Trust the shield of faith. Trust in his righteousness. Trust in the gospel. Trust in his truth. Trust it. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. You know what that means? Give him no ground. Amen? What am I telling you? I'm telling you the things that you should do. Give him no ground. Give him no place. Folks, if he's in your house, get him out. Now, I don't mean get rid of your husband. Or your wife. Why are you throwing me out? Because Brother Glenn told me to get rid of the devil. Yeah. No, get the enemy out of your house. Quit entertaining him. Quit letting him hang around. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. That word resist literally means fight. Don't entertain him. Get rid of him. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober and vigilant. That is, be alert. Keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention to what's going on around you. If you were in World War II and you were in Germany, you were behind the enemy lines and you were walking around every day going, you're not going to live very long. Amen? You're a target. They look over there and go, look at that nut walking across the field whistling. Take him out. But you walk. No. If you were behind, you'd be walking around like this, wouldn't you? You'd be observant. You'd be alert. You'd be watchful. Folks, we need to start walking around a little bit more, not in fear, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have been made more than conquerors. Do not fear the world, he said, because I have overcome the world. Not in fear, but just being alert. And let me close last with this. I want to give you your weapons against the enemy, and I'm going to wrap this up. You know what your first weapon is against the enemy? The blood of Jesus. Not only are you saved by the blood, you're marked by the blood. You know, the blood saves you, but then the blood protects you. The blood is your covering. The blood is all over you. Wash me in your blood, Lord Jesus. Wash me in your blood. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the blood of Jesus. Someone says, boy, that's a bloody religion. You're doggone right, it's a bloody religion. And it's the blood of Jesus that saves the world. I'm marked by his blood, not ashamed of his blood, but it's the blood of Jesus that fights that enemy and comes against him. There's a bloodline around you because you're a child of God, and the devil hates the blood of Jesus. Not only the blood, but the word of God. Folks, that sword, look, the Bible, the word of God does you no good laying on your coffee table. The word of God does you no good in your back pocket. David said, his word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. So get the word of God in you. That is, the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. And when the enemy comes against you, you pull that sword out of the scabbard and you use it. When he comes against you and says, you're no good and you're not worth anything, you pull that sword and say, I am a child of God bought with the blood of Jesus and I belong to the King. When he comes to you and says, you're going to be sick and you're going to die, you pull that sword out and say, by his stripes I'm healed and he is my healer. When he comes to you and says, you're going to be depressed, you pull that sword out and say, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but I have the mind of Christ. You pull that sword out and use it every day against the enemy. There's power in the word of God. The Bible says he spoke and worlds were created. The power of God's word is so amazing. Not only do you have the blood and the word, but you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's with you every day. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord for that sweet anointing. Thank the Lord for that gentle dove of God. Thank the Lord for that breath that flows from heaven. Thank the Lord for that wind that sweeps across us. Thank the Lord for that water that flows. Oh, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, you have the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, there's power in that name. There's power in that name. The world, I'm telling you, the devil hates that name. That's why all the time, I've told you all this before, that's why everywhere, you can say Buddha, you can say Muhammad, you can say God, you can say anything you want to say, just don't say the name of Jesus. We don't want the name of Jesus at our program. We don't want the name of Jesus in our parade. We don't want the name of Jesus in our association. We don't want the name of, why? Why is the devil so afraid of the name of Jesus? If Jesus is not the Son of God, if Jesus is nothing, if Jesus is everything they say he is, why are they afraid of that name? What's the big deal about that name? Because the devil knows he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he that was dead and is now alive forevermore. He knows there's power in that name. And sometimes when I don't know how to pray, sometimes when I don't know what to say, I just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I'm telling you, the atmosphere around me changes. The heavens begin to change. Things begin to happen because there's power in that name. Demons tremble. Demons flee. The Bible says that even the demons tremble and believe. They know sometimes what we don't know. Amen. Let's stand together.